Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Rose Show. This is Amelia Rose, and I am happy to be with you again tonight for another hot topic. Remember, this show comes to you live every Monday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And all you need really to connect to us is a telephone, and I am sure everyone has access to a telephone. Now, the number to call in if you want to listen live is 929-477-2779. That number again is 929-477-2779. Now, for those people who are unable to tune in live, remember you can follow the weekly conversations on Facebook. And sometimes we do get connected through Twitter, but mostly the show has its own Facebook page where we encourage everyone to leave questions and comments about the topics every week. We also encourage you to join my other two partners on the network. There is Topics with Trish at 10 a.m. Central Time, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and the Two Nannies at noon with Donna and Lee, also in Central Time. So get ready. You still have time to call a friend to listen in, and be sure to follow us on Facebook after the show is aired tonight. Now, I will be revisiting a topic I discussed here about 2 years ago, and that topic is exploitation of the elderly. I felt compelled to talk about this topic again tonight because, as the research has shown, the issue of elder abuse is very complicated and raises its ugly head more often than we want to admit. And I can tell you that this week alone, I heard of at least 3 instances of elder abuse that I just, you know, it just makes my blood boil when I hear these situations and can't intervene for one reason or the other. But as you're listening tonight, I want you to know that you will run into these situations yourself. And you are not always going to be handicapped because every person 18 years of age and older is a mandatory reporter, at least in the United States. So what that means is if you know of an individual who is being abused in any way, you can call 911, you can call your local Department of Children and Families or some elder agency, but don't feel that you are helpless. Now, one of the latest reports I came across in the Huffington Post had to do with some. And I think it's a little bit outdated because I know it's more than that. But this report actually was showing that one in five individuals age 65 and older are victims of financial abuse annually. And I think this report is really about 2 years old. And if you were to add the numbers to this fraction, we're talking about 7.8 million older Americans. And I am not even talking about those incidences of scamming and fraud. I'm just talking about incidences where either caregivers, family members, or friends, trusted individuals, just totally exploit the elderly. Now, the other thing I want you to understand is these are reported cases. So you can imagine there is a greater number that may be going unreported for different reasons. One of the main reasons that we have found over the years is that victims, older victims of exploitation and abuse, whether neglect or whatever, they're afraid to talk because usually the perpetrator is someone that they love very much, a relative or a good friend. So they are afraid to, you know, get them in trouble. That's their thinking anyway. The other reason why I wanted to bring this topic back to the forefront was that as a female and an aging female, you notice I didn't say old female? Yes, aging female. I am finding that women more than men are less prepared for aging, although they usually spend most of their lives taking care of someone else. And when that happens, actually, they leave themselves vulnerable and at risk of all forms of abuse later in life. And you will see that they're borne out in the stories that I'm going to share with you this evening. They're all about women. That doesn't mean now that some men are not exploited, but since we're talking mainly about financial exploitation, normally what you find is that in relationships, the men are taking care of the finances and the women really are left not knowing anything. So when the men are no longer around, for whatever the reasons, they are handicapped. Now, what is exploitation by law? Exploitation is the illegal or improper use of an elder's funds, property, or assets by a trusted caregiver, stranger, or relatives. And yes, I said relatives, because within this definition, I must also share with you the fact that exploitation by relatives, especially children, far outweighs that of caregivers or strangers. Now, if that doesn't make your belly turn, now I don't know what is. You know, when it really, really saddens me to see the number of situations where parents made long-term investments in their children, and those same children think nothing of taking advantage of their failing physical and mental health, manipulating their remaining resources and shoving them off into assisted living facilities or even nursing home. Now, hear me and hear me good, my friends. I have one child who also is an adult. But after observing all of this over the years and working to help to alleviate the problem, I told myself that I would do everything within my power not to fall prey to exploitation. And so far, so good. But what happens when I experience decline in mental state, which most of us will succumb to if we live long enough? But I am telling you that I have already put in place some factors, and I would call them instruments, legal instruments, that will help to minimize my risk of exploitation by my child, and hopefully by anyone else for that matter. And I do hope that as you listen tonight, you will hear something that will make you consider taking similar actions. Now, before I go any further, I want you to stop for a moment from whatever you're doing and ask yourself if you could be at risk of exploitation. Now, here are some of the factors that you need to bear in mind to answer that question for yourself. Because in reality, some of us think that, oh, this would never happen to me, and it could never happen to me. Yes, it could happen to you, and it could happen to someone who you also know and love. Everyone could potentially be the target of financial exploitation, and everyone should be cautious that their financial matters, especially older adults, you might be familiar. Well, let's put it this way. You might be particularly at risk if the following things are happening. If you depend on others for meeting many personal needs, you could be at risk. If you recently lost a spouse or loved one who handled your finances, you could be at risk. If family members or friends regularly handle your finances, you could be at risk. If you feel isolated from society, you could be at risk. If you have difficulty understanding finances, you could be at risk. And if you are unaware of what it takes to find alternative living situations or living options, you can be at risk. Now, if this resonates with you, as I said, although nothing is foolproof, you need to be exploring realistic options to address these situations before it's too late. Now, as I said, I came across one issue. I'm not trying to frighten anyone, but I just want to caution you that turning a blind eye to the stories that I will share can only be to your own detriment. So I would advise you to stay tuned, listen to this, share with a friend, and be extremely vigilant yourself. Now, some time ago, I read a quote by Winston Churchill that went, "When you're 20, you care what everyone thinks. When you're 40, you stop caring what everyone thinks. And when you are 60, you'll realize no one was ever thinking about you in the first place." No. You know, that sounds funny. But when I reviewed each line of that quote, I came to understand that what it was really talking about is the matter of priorities in our lives. And many of us never seem to want to get out of the 20 and 30 age group. But if you live long enough, you'll get to 40 and you'll also get to 60. And we just need to make sure that as we go along our journey, that we are making or taking the right priorities during the right stages. I don't expect to see people at 40 behaving like they're 20, and I don't expect 60s to be behaving as if you're 20 or 40. Now, I'm not talking about physicality now. I'm talking about serious planning about your future. Many of us at 20 had no clue what to think about in terms of future planning. And I have to admit to you that some of us didn't even think we were going to get 60. And today that is even worse, because I have listened to younger people who don't even think they are going to get to 25 and 30, much less 60. So it is critical that we really pay attention to what's going on and make some plan for our future. Now, I can tell you when it comes to planning that there are some people in life, and I don't know if you have met them, but I am too true with some of these people. They really, you know, they live their entire lives being other people's priority. And as far as I'm concerned, if you can help it, I'm staying clear of those people. With them around, you will never be able to focus on your own needs and plans and for your future, because you're always going to be focusing on theirs, and they're not going to let you forget it either. So with that in mind, I want to share at least the first real life story. Now, this, again, as I said, we don't know what the end is going to be for any of us, but we can learn lessons from other people's situation. Now, in this story, we're talking about an 87-year-old woman who managed her affairs until she decided one day to ask her adult son to assist her with her finances. Now, it wasn't very clear whether or not she had diminishing mental status. I know for sure that something physical was happening. She couldn't get to go to, you know, do some of the errands she's accustomed to. And, you know, that comes with the inability to drive anymore. And when you become, like I said, when you start depending on people to do things for you, then, you know, you are prone to abuses. You know, it's not going to happen by everyone, but I'm just saying now, these are things that can happen. Now, one thing was good about her situation. She knew enough to get a document drafted, and that document was a durable power of attorney, which attorneys usually draft for you. And that document gives full access to someone's assets and decision making. So not only was the son able to do financial transactions and make decisions about her finances, but he was also able to make her medical decisions. No, that to me, that's total care. You know, Lord help me, Father. I know I have some good friends, and I pray to God that if I ever get to that place, one friend at least will step in and make sure that my wishes are, you know, respected. Now, a few months after this mom, 87-year-old mom, gave her son access to her finances, he asked if he could move in, and she agreed. So as time passed, mom's health was declining, and she now wanted to explore what it would take for her to transition into an assisted living facility should that become necessary. And we know that is something that I think about all the time. You know, am I going to be able to live in my home as I age? If I can't live in my home, where would I prefer to be? And who will take care of me? And all of these questions. I mean, they may sound a little premature to some people, but listen, I want to be on the front end of these decisions, not on the back end. Now, when this mom and her son began talking about her plans or her wishes to go into an assisted living facility, she felt something was very wrong, and she was very right, because by then, the son was trying to convince her that she couldn't afford to move into an assisted living facility. Now, whatever mental status was left was enough for her to remember that she had enough money at one time to do this. So I'm sure in the back of her head, she's wondering, whatever happened to my money? And this son tried everything to convince her that she didn't have a lot of money. Now, good for this older woman. She confided in a friend, and that friend contacted the Adult Protective Service Agency in their community. The agency went on to conduct an investigation and discovered that the son had transferred $225,000 from his mother's account to his without her permission. Now, remember the definition I gave you earlier? This is a clear case of elder financial abuse. And what makes it worse, it's a breach of trust, because who is the perpetrator? A trusted relative, her own son. So in other words, the son exploited his mother. I can't tell you how the story ended, but I guarantee you one thing. She was one of the lucky ones, because she spoke up in time and a good friend listened and acted on her behalf. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment and ask yourself, if you found yourself into that situation, how would you handle it? Also ask yourself, what could you do to prevent something like that from happening, if at all? Because as I said, nothing is foolproof, because she thought she would never experience something like that from a child. All right? So buckle up for story number two. Now, this is, again, an elderly female. And we have changed the names in some of these stories because we don't want to implicate or further, put anyone in any stressful situation. So we called victim number two, Evelyn. Evelyn was a registered nurse most of her professional life and remained single until the age of 80. And what happened at 80? There is hope for me yet and all my single friends out there. At 80, Evelyn met this young man who went to her church and she got married. He moved in to a home that she owned prior to the marriage, and so did one of that husband's sons. Now, approximately 7 years into the marriage, that husband died. But the son remained in the home with Evelyn, and by now she, of course, trusted him, and he was also a church man. You know how all these church people can get sometimes? Oh, my God, working like the devil for the Lord, okay? Now, Evelyn soon entrusted him with making her mortgage payments at one of the local banks on a monthly basis. She had no children of her own, and we heard of one relative, but nobody actually could figure out where this relative lived, and we didn't see any persons, maybe more than a time or two. So as time passed, Evelyn became physically frail. But as most elderly people, I must warn you, if you haven't found out yet, she insisted on still driving short distances to do errands and felt she never needed anyone to help with household chores. Sometimes when I would visit her, I didn't bother to ask if I could do something. I just did it because I know if I asked her, she was going to tell me no, or she was just going to get it done or something like that. Now, time is passing here, and before we know it, Evelyn was telling us she was getting married again. I am telling you, girlfriends, if you're listening out there, at 89, Evelyn ended up marrying another guy who was like 4 or 5 years her senior. Now, when we looked at both of them, they didn't seem strong enough to manage their own affairs. But guess what? They were as stubborn as a nail, and they refused all efforts to help them. Before long, the story was coming. Evelyn began to tell some of her close friends that she had something to tell them. And you know how that is. I have something to tell you, but never really got around to it. And this was the strangest thing, because how we found out what was happening was just by sheer coincidence. We found out that 5 years prior to this marriage to the second husband, the son for that previous husband had used a quit claim deed to take away her property from her. She didn't know, and nobody else knew. By the time we found out and was trying to help her, he denied every obvious evidence we could come up with. He did not do it. And she insisted that she did not voluntarily give away her property either. Well, We got the county's Adult Protective Services Agency involved, but by the time they got around to doing an investigation, Evelyn had a stroke and she was not able to participate in the investigation. Because of that, she lost everything. And I am saying everything. The house, whatever was in it, her financial statement, I mean, her monies in the bank. I mean, we have no clue how all of this happened. But today she is still alive, mind you, in her 90s. She still cannot speak. And you know what is the worst case scenario here? Her health care in a facility is being managed by a non-relative in another country. Now, let me tell you something. If you have not gotten the message shared in either of these stories, I don't know what to tell you, except that you are in for a rough, rough ride as you age if you have not made any plans for how you want to see the latter part of your journey. Now, are you ready for story number three? I don't think it's that bad, but let's get to it. Now, this elderly person, we called her May, and she was 70 years of age. She lived at home, and she was very active in all the social activities in her condo association. She was like the talk of the town, and she was the center of attraction in all the dances and planning and all of that. I mean, you could not ask for a happier, go lucky elder individual. Now, as I said, she was able to perform her activities of daily living and manage her affairs with no issue at all. But one day, she fell and broke her hip. She was admitted to a local hospital and discharged to a rehab facility. She had three adult daughters. They visited, and they were the ones responsible for arranging for her follow-up care. And I suppose that went into future care. She was discharged from the hospital into a rehab where she was told that she would be for about 3 weeks. As I said, all the arrangements were made by her daughters. And they insisted, because she kept asking, how long am I going to be here? Well, after rehab, she thought she was going home, because that is what her daughters promised. Well, I know you're beginning now to guess how this story ends, but let me tell you how it unfolded. From rehab, instead of going home, May was sent to an assisted living facility. Now, she could do some of the things she's always done. And now she finds herself in an isolated place. Her friends are not coming around like they used to. And she is still asking, when am I going home? And, of course, they told her they are going to keep her in this place for about 3 months until they can make further arrangements for her care at home. Well, May counted 2 months, then 3 months, and 3 months turned into 6 months, and her questions were now going unanswered. Within 9 months, May was still in this facility, and she died there without her friends being able to know where she is and visit her, or her being able to participate in all the fun-loving things that she used to do. And when the friends found out, they all agreed that May died from a broken heart. Now, my friends, as I said to you before, those of you who are listening, some of you may be in the age group that I am in, the 60s, going on 100, and I really want to encourage you. Take time out. Some of you are providing care for family members. Myself, I have done so much of that now. I'm turning around advocating now for friends. But on top of all of that, I'm asking you, don't neglect making preparation for your own future. There is no guarantee, really, how any of it is going to work out. But at least have something in writing to say who you want to at least advocate for you when you are no longer able to do that. And on top of that, have a second person to be the watchful eye, that second eye just in case. Let's say the other person, the one that you chose first, is no longer available or able to do what you wish. You want somebody else to be able to step in, okay? Make sure you have these things in writing and make copies of them and give them to the people, some of the people who you want to do certain things for you. They need to know ahead of time so that they can be looking out for you, okay? Don't take it for granted that because you have money today that someone is going to use it and do for you what you have in your mind. Nobody can read your mind. So put it in writing and make sure trusted people know about it. Even somebody at the bank, an attorney someplace. You know, I mean, it's so scary to hear me say this, knowing that some of the same people who we often trust to be our protector and sometimes to look out for us, they are the same people sometimes that can turn around and hurt you. But I really think that the chances that you not doing this are and be at a disadvantage is greater than doing it and getting help. Okay, I don't know if that made sense to you. It sounded like a tongue twister for a moment there. So if you are 60 years old and older, if you believe that you are at risk based on the conditions that I cited earlier, if you have a caregiver, if you have trusted individuals that are taking care of your affairs, if you have relatives and, you know, who are looking out for you, and if they are now taking advantage of you, you know that.
I am asking you not to be overcome by fear. There has to be somebody who you can, my grandmother used to say, you can pinch and tell the story to, so that if there's help, it can be had in time. Now, if you know of anyone who is experiencing exploitation or financial abuse of any kind, you may call in the U.S. the Elder Care Locator at 800-677-1116. I'm going to repeat that number. It's the Elder Care Locator, and the number is 800-677-1116. This is a nationwide public service that connects older individuals and caregivers with local aging resources that can help you. This agency can also connect you with the Adult Protective Service agencies in your community. So there is help, and worst case scenario, if you feel that you are in immediate danger, you know it's not just for medical that you can call 911. You can call 911 and they will route your information and make sure that you get the help that you need when you need it. Now, I have, 2 minutes for question, if anyone has a question. If you don't, remember you can always go on the Facebook page, state your comments, and ask your question. And in a couple of minutes, we are going to be off the air till next week. So I'm going to leave these next 2 minutes for anyone who may have a question based on anything you heard tonight. Well, just like I told you, my listeners love to talk on Facebook. So I look forward to hearing from you on Facebook or on Twitter. And I thank you for tuning in every Monday at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. And hopefully the information that I shared with you this evening will help you to come up with ways to protect yourself and someone that you love. So thank you for joining me. And again, I look forward to hearing from you next week. Hail Moon.